the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, no, no. We will not bow down. We will not conform. And we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560 with your host, Ken Clark.
Welcome back. Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. There is an awful lot going on yet again today. And I'm sure most of you, if you haven't heard it, you should tune in to Wake Up with Randy Corporan in the mornings if you're up that early from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. I did listen to his show this morning, and I was with him last night. We both went to Liberty Libations. A great event. It is a great crew of people down there. Interesting dynamic, obviously, because of all the turmoil going on within the Colorado GOP. But it's a great group of people. It's a business networking type of event, and just a lot of fun. Everybody gets the chance to get up and speak if you choose to, and you can promote your business. That's kind of what it's all about. Steve House was the keynote speaker. He is the chairman of the Colorado GOP, and he talked about it, and I got to talk to some of the people that are volunteers down there at the Colorado GOP and what's going on and all that. And Steve spent most of the time talking about what he's done as chair. He's been in there for, what, about 90 days, something like that. He didn't get into a whole lot of detail in regards to the controversy. There was a statement put out by the Colorado GOP, specifically Steve House, yesterday. It hit last night after my show, so I wasn't able to talk about it. And pretty much everybody has picked it up. And everybody's running with it. And so far, this is the chairman's side of the story. I don't think we've heard Cynthia Kaufman's, Becky Mizell's, or Tom Tancredo. We haven't heard much from their side of the story, except that Cynthia has come out and said, you know what, we're going to work this thing through proper channels. And that's basically the way we're going to handle it. And what that means, I'm not 100% sure I know, but I guess we're in a situation where we just need to wait and see what happens next, see what kind of facts are presented, if any, and see where it goes from there. And so nobody has really talked to the press much about the meeting that took place Monday afternoon, except for Steve. He's put out that his announcement. I think most people have heard about it. It was pretty blistering. And then, of course, all the liberal blogs are jumping up and down and, you know, attacking the attorney general, attacking Tom Tancredo, attacking pretty much everybody. And so I think it's kind of interesting the way this dynamic is shaping up. And I think that, you know, some of the headlines are absolutely disgusting. But, you know, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. You can find it on the internet if you choose to. But I'm not going to give the liberal rags out there the airtime and, you know, waste my time saying their name. I don't think this is over yet. We're going to have to wait and see, you know. So I think it would behoove everyone to withhold judgment until all the facts are out. And then you can make a decision. I've noticed that there's a lot going on Facebook. And I'm not a Facebook warrior. I've said that many, many times. I just don't like doing that. I'm going to handle all my disputes and everything on the air. If you've got something you want to call me out on, I will put you on the air. I will be respectful. I had a liberal blogger call me and attack me one time for not making it known that I was the registered agent for Advancing Colorado. But then at the same time, that blogger refused to tell me, or I didn't even know to ask. But she didn't disclose that she was a blogger for a liberal rag website. So, yeah, okay. But anyway, I'll still put her back on the air if she chooses to call back in, or anybody else for that matter. 303-477-5600 is the phone number if you care to chime in. But I, for one, am going to kick back, watch this thing, and see how it plays out, see what happens next. And I don't believe it's over. I think that it'll be handled Who knows what's going to happen next? You just don't know. I mean, this whole thing is a mess, but at the end, I think the facts will come to light, and then people can make a decision. I think I would caution everyone from deciding too soon where you stand on this particular issue, whether you're for or against either side, doesn't matter. Just, I would wait and let this thing play out, because it will, you know, and you've got to ask yourself one simple question. Would you rather be doing this now or a year from now? Whether or not that was even on the table, I don't know. But, you know, you've got to, sometimes when you're trying to fix things that you perceive as wrong, you do them earlier rather than later. Don't let them fester. So we'll see what happens in the end. So I want to talk about a couple different things. And so that's really all I'm going to say about that. Well, I'm just going to wait and see how this thing plays out and see where it goes from here. And I, you know, Tom Tancredo was on Peter Boyle's today, so he's not scheduled to be on with me today. I'm going to have Susan Kochevar on at 1:30 because I'm speaking on Friday to the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, and so that ought to be fun. We're going to talk about that. And then at 2 o'clock, I'm really excited about this guest, because as you are well aware, we have the Western Conservative Summit coming up, and that's always a big event in Denver. Everybody who's anybody is going to be there. Lots of good conservatives will be there. Lots of conversations, lots of planning, lots of strategy, lots of good stuff, because let's face it, we've got the 2016 election coming up, and I am going to be diving into that at the 2:30 segment, because I think that'll follow up well to Rachel Campos Duffy, and she's going to be speaking at the Western Conservative Summit. She's going to be talking about what level of political engagement we have by Latinos in the United States. And I have some very specific thoughts on that, because we've got to make a decision. We've got to decide as a society, are we Americans or not? You know, if we're Americans, great. We're all Americans, okay? And I'm talking about citizens specifically. And we have to realize who the real enemy is. And I'm talking politically. And the enemy is, in my mind, the ruling class, those inside the Beltway. It is really hard to defend being a Republican in this day and age when you watch what's happening inside the Beltway. So we're going to talk about that, because I think that's very important. In the meantime, there's a lot of economic news coming out, and none of it is good. None of it is good. I mean, I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to dive in deep on this, because I think this is very important. You know how we always have a debt ceiling battle every few months, once a year at least, maybe every 6 months? We have always had that debt ceiling battle. And the Republicans are always the evil Republicans that want to push grandma in a wheelchair off the cliff. And the Democrats are always everybody's savior, because we have to raise the debt ceiling so that we can pay our bills, so that we can make sure that we continue all of these government handouts. Everybody gets a United States government handout. Doesn't matter if you're a country or a welfare recipient or a subsidized housing recipient, or whatever the case may be, an Obamacare recipient, it doesn't matter. Seems like everybody today has their handout. Well, that is the fault of our government enslaving those people and making them believe that they are entitled to it, when the birthright of an American is that you are entitled to something much better, much bigger. And that is freedom to do what you choose and make it on your own. With freedom, with being a citizen, comes responsibility. And you have a responsibility not to be a burden on society. Society as a whole will take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. But now you have fourth, fifth generation welfare recipients, people that have lived their life on the dole. They know nothing more than living their life on the dole. And it's a problem. You are destroying the human spirit. And what really angers me is that the system is set up to where if someone does happen to fall on hard times, and let's say, for argument's sake, that it's of no fault of their own. Let's say they get into a car accident, whatever. They get laid off from work. I mean, just something happens that is of no fault of their own. And they have no recourse, no other alternative but to go on a government-subsidized program, which is supposed to be a hand up, not a hand out. The system is designed to where it's next to impossible for those people to get off of it. If you do take a part-time job, then that money could actually put you in a situation where you no longer qualify for whatever program you might be on, and you're worse off for taking a job than you would be otherwise. That is the system. It is designed to keep those people dependent upon government because that's their power base. And they keep selling them on the lie that they are entitled to this simply because they were born and breathe air. And a lot of people buy that. A lot of people will buy into whatever grievances happened 100 years ago is their reason for being on the government dole. This is 2015. Freedom is not free, but you still have a responsibility not to be a burden to society. That is what is required of you for being a citizen. Now, when we come back, I do want to get into this, and this comes from CNS News. I referenced it yesterday. It was posted about 2 days ago. But I want to talk about the debt ceiling and that battle. I also am going to dive into interest rates and what the Congressional Budget Office just said about our debt. You're not going to believe it. Nobody really wants to talk about this. Why do I get the feeling that as we move into 2016, that the mainstream media out there, in order to pump up Hillary, because she's going to be Obama's successor if they have their way, they're going to continue to lie about the facts of what's really happening in the economy. Stay tuned. That's what we're going to be talking about next. Welcome back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. So what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Why is none of the battles that we're so accustomed to? I remember, let's go back a couple years ago. I mean, let's go back 6 months. Let's go back 1 year. We're always talking about the debt ceiling. We're always talking about the credit card limit that the federal government has. Why is it as of late no one is talking about that? All they're talking about is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They're talking about all these different things. And yes, those are important. They're very important. But this one has kind of been flying underneath the radar for a while, and here's why. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody, not Republicans or Democrats. Republicans sure as hell don't want to talk about it, because if they do, or if anybody does start talking about it, then that means they might have to do something about it, and they don't want to, and they would just be forcing themselves into another situation where they would cave. Yes, they would cave. There's so many euphemisms I want to use for that right now, but I'm not going to. But they're just, yeah, not pretty. Okay, so this comes from CNSnews.com. And it's important. And I've talked about this in the past, but every week it seems like this thing kind of seems to get extended. The headline is this. This is from Terrence P. Jeffrey. It was posted on June 15th, CNSnews.com. 90 days, Treasury says debt has been frozen at $18,112,995,000,000. Okay, why is that important? Well, all right. The portion of the federal debt that is subject to a legal limit set by Congress closed Thursday, June 11th at $18,112,975,000,000, according to the latest daily Treasury statement, which was published at 4 p.m. on Friday. Now, the key thing to that is the federal debt that is subject to a legal limit. There is a portion of our budget and a portion of our debt that is not subject to a legal limit, and it just goes on, you know, unchecked, unfettered forever. That's why we're in a situation right now where nobody really knows the answer to this question. But how much in unfunded mandates do we really have? No one knows. Is it $105 trillion? Is it $200 trillion? Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, etc. No one really knows the answer to that question. A lot of people can guess, but it is an insurmountable number. It is a huge number. So let's get back to this. On 4 p.m. on Friday, the debt ceiling is still $18,112,975,000,000. That, according to the Treasury statements, makes 90 days straight that the debt limit has been frozen at that number. It's $25 million below the current legal limit, which is $18,113,000,000. So it got close to the next debt limit 90 days ago, and they said, okay, we're going to quit. We're going to quit calculating it. We're just going to freeze it right there. Now, the Treasury Secretary came out, this might have been 2 months ago, or maybe it was longer than that, right after this started, and said, yeah, we're doing some fancy accounting. We're transferring some funds. We're doing this. We're doing that in order to make sure that we don't hit that debt limit. Anybody buying that? Anybody buying that? How come we are still running an annual deficit, yet the deficit doesn't go up? The debt doesn't go up. We're running an annual deficit, meaning we're taking in fewer dollars than we're actually spending, yet the debt has not increased. I do have an answer for that question. The it's $25 million below that. It's like saying, okay, credit card company, I know that I've got a $5,000 limit, but we're going to stop it at $4,975. I'm just going to continue to go out there and spend money, but just don't tack it onto my bill. Really? You think a credit card company would do that? No, of course not. But these people in D.C., they get away with this with impunity, and nobody ever calls them on it. Okay? The daily Treasury statement for March 13th was the first to show the federal debt subject to the limit closing the day of $18 trillion, blah, blah, blah. Every daily Treasury statement since then has reported the same thing, $25 million shy of the debt limit. Okay, so for the last 90 days, they just have simply not tacked on a single penny to the national debt.
Well, I have to disagree with you. People call them on it all the time. They just don't care. They just do what they do with impunity, like whatever. And then when you get too close, they change up the rules that you can't investigate them, or they hit you with the we did an investigation on us by us, and we found that we did nothing wrong.
There's a lot of that going around lately. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about when you talk about that. But on March 13th, Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew sent a letter to House Speaker John Boehner and other congressional leaders, informing them that he was planning to declare a quote debt issuance suspension period. So I don't know what they're doing to fund the federal government. I mean, we haven't heard any talk of a federal government shutdown. We haven't heard anything about that. I mean, nothing. Okay, so what's really going on? The Republicans flat out refuse to deal with this because if they were getting pressure to deal with the debt ceiling, that would mean they would have to do something about it. They don't want to do anything about it because they would be put into a situation where they would have to be calling for cuts in spending. Can't do that. They would want to be cutting budgets of different departments. Can't do that. Why? Well, because Obama and the Democrats would force them into a showdown. They would want to raise the debt ceiling to $20 trillion. Can't do that. Can't do that. They would be forced into a situation where they would have to do something. They would have to have another budget battle, and they always lose because they don't have the spine to stand up to this president. They do not have the guts. They don't want anybody to know what they're spending and how bad it's gotten since, you know, Obama took office. They don't want this fight any more than the Democrats do. They have both sides have figured out, you know what? We'll just quit talking about it. We'll just suspend the damn thing and no one will know. And shoot, we'll just keep on trucking like business as usual. That's why it is very hard to defend being a Republican in this day and age when you take a look at what John Boehner and Mitch McConnell are doing. Because guess who controls the purse strings in Washington, D.C., at least according to the Constitution? The House of Representatives does. Oh, last time I checked, we've got a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives that really don't want to deal with this thing either. So they are complicit in this fraud. And it is a fraud. No one really knows how much the deficit is right now, but chances are it's pushing $19 trillion. It's got to be. It has got to be. By the end of Obama's term, everyone is aware that it's going to be $20 trillion or more. No one wants to deal with that. Clinton's out there running around like she's the Obama incarnate. You know, she's the female reincarnation of Obama, and those policies are getting us into a lot of trouble. Whenever we see the unemployment numbers, we know that that's a lie. That is another fraud being perpetrated on the American people. But here's what we have to look forward to. And this is according to the Federal Reserve. And this comes out of LATimes.com. Feds hold off on interest rate rate hike, downgrades economic forecast. Okay? This was posted just today. So feds are artificially keeping interest rates low. Why? Well, because we have $18 trillion in debt or more. We've got probably $19 trillion in debt by now. If you raise interest rates, that means the debt service that the federal government has to pay goes through the roof. And ultimately, all of the tax receipts that we're getting from you and me, the taxpayer, will go to be financing the debt. In order to finance the government, yeah, that day's coming, Terrence. That day is coming. If they raise interest rates, if the free markets were in charge of interest rates, we would already be in big trouble. Because if they go up 1 point, I can't remember the number, but it's like a $500 million a day or something god awful like that in additional interest rates. It might even be more. I can't even remember. But it's a very dangerous place to be. And so then there's another article today coming from the Washington Times. You're going to love this. Government debt threatens to send U.S. economy into death spiral. That comes from the Congressional Budget Office. But, lo and behold, the debt isn't going up. I wonder how that could be happening. Why would the CBO be coming out today and saying this very thing? Our national debt is spiraling out of control, said House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price, Georgia Republican. Rising federal debt threatens to choke economic growth within a decade, beginning a death spiral that will snap revenue from government programs even as demands grow, forcing the government to borrow even more. Yeah, we're going to have to borrow money to pay the interest on our borrowed money. That's what we're going to have to do. You want to talk about robbing Peter to pay Paul? That is exactly what we're looking at with our economy. The idea that our government is perpetuating this fraud on the American people ought to curl your toes. This is one of the issues of our time. There are a lot of them. But Washington, D.C. is out of control. Washington, D.C. needs to be closed, and we need to just start over. Because on both sides of the aisle, they continue to perpetrate this fraud on the American people. They simply do not want you to know the truth of what they are doing and how bad it is. They just want you hating me because I'm white and you're black. You hate me because I'm poor and you're rich. Or the other way around. You're rich and I'm poor. Or I'm rich and you're poor. Whatever the case may be, they continue with that class warfare. And that way nobody pays attention to what they're really doing. Coming up next, Susan Kochevar. We're going to talk about the CRBC. We'll be right back. There's a lot of things in Colorado that are heating up, a lot of battles out there that we have yet to have, but there's some good things that are happening as well. So I'd like to invite Susan Kochevar on the air with us right now. Susan, welcome back to Freedom 560.
Hi, Ken. It's great to be back.
So you've got something going on Friday. What's that?
Well, the Colorado Republican Business Coalition is meeting on Friday, and you're speaking there. I'm so excited about that. As you know, I was just elected chairman of the coalition, and we will be talking about Initiative 20, which is a business killer. And I want to make sure all the people who are members of CRBC understand that this initiative must be stopped.
So tell me more about the CRBC. What is it? I mean, what do you guys do?
Well, CRBC is the organization to join if you have a small business, especially the tiny little businesses. We work to give tiny little businesses a voice at the Capitol. You know, larger businesses can hire lobbyists to lobby their point of view, and those larger businesses can then work around the regulations that get passed because they have the money to do that. Well, us tiny little guys, we can't do that. So we review legislation. We let our members know what's coming through the state legislature. We testify at the Capitol a lot. We will be doing more of that and working on some strategies to push back regulations and to make the bureaucrats accountable for some of this stuff that we're seeing happen.
You know, I talk about that a lot, Susan. You know how I tend to rant and rave. But, I mean, we've got government overregulation in every aspect of business. It's simply insane what's happening. And government is the single largest barrier to entry for any business anywhere. And it seems to me that the Colorado Republican Business Coalition is trying to do something about that. What say you, Susan?
We definitely are. We have been around for 23 years, and we've had some terrific past presidents, Christine Burt, who gave us really good structure, and Andy Anderson, who gave us our small donor committee and our political committee so that we can donate to candidates who are free market and limited government and actually understand what it means not to pass legislation that has unintended consequences for other folks.
Well, and that's just it. Government never cares about the unintended consequences. They've never even understood that every time they pass a new regulation, and what the problem is that a lot of times you don't have government legislation acting or inciting creating this kind of regulation. You've got government departments out there writing their own policy, which is then treated as law. And then they have their own law enforcement divisions within their departments that go out and enforce it. And it's gotten so far out of control. You have personally had to deal with this. You are a small business owner.
Absolutely. I have a drive-in movie theater. And a few years back, our industry is going through a change from 35 millimeter film to digital cinema. I don't have a choice. I have to buy a new projector or I'll be out of business. So the health department came into my business and demanded that I put in a new sink. Well, the sink that I used was perfectly good for the first 20 years. I've never made anyone sick. But this new sink that they wanted would cost me $20,000 by the time I got the appropriate sink and appropriate sink and all of the construction stuff redone. Well, I wouldn't be able to make the digital cinema leap with a regulatory body spending my money for me. They don't know where I need to put it. And there was a waiver in the regulations that the regulators themselves didn't even know about. So an attorney friend of ours, David K. Williams, helped me look at that and send in my request for that waiver, which was then granted. That's just one issue I've had with a regulatory body. So, heck, I saw something come across Facebook the other day where in some city the police went in and closed the business because they didn't have enough flowered plants on their patio. They didn't meet a code. Is this really what we want our police to do? Is this really the kind of government interference we want in businesses?
Yeah, and you and I both have a mutual friend who built a new building for his business. I'm going to leave it nameless. But he built a new building for his business, moved in, tried to get a certificate of occupancy from the county or from the city, and they wouldn't give it to him because there was a dead shrub. Are you kidding me? A dead shrub. This is how out of hand government has gotten. And these bureaucrats love that because they'll go down there and they'll find any reason they can to write a citation. You must fix this before we give you a CO. And that's how they justify their existence. They prey upon the working people of the United States and here in Colorado. They prey upon them. They have to write some infraction. That happened to my dad one time. He was expanding one of the properties that he owns. And the state government, this happened in Wyoming, the state government sends an attorney down there and decides that, well, you know, okay, everything seems to be in order, but we have this tiny little issue here, so I'm going to write you a citation for $1,000. And we're like, why? Well, I got to write you something. And my dad's like, well, why not make it $1? Why not make it $5? Why does it have to be $1,000? And the reason being is that bureaucrat had to justify his existence.
That's right. And everything is so darn punitive. And also not mentioning that business owner's name is another problem. People are afraid to talk out about this because these regulatory bodies tend to be vindictive and they connect. And the average business owner just doesn't have a chance.
Well, and I don't use it because I've never asked the interested party his permission. I was told that story a year ago, and for all I know, he's got the issue resolved. But they weren't going to give him a certificate of occupancy on a brand new building because of a single dead shrub, maybe a foot high.
And it's silly.
You look at that and you just, it makes you wonder. I mean, you shake your head in disbelief going, this is our government? I mean, they're pounding upon the businessman and the individuals out there like there's no tomorrow. It just never seems to stop.
Well, and small businesses are the lifeblood of this country. In fact, it's what keeps us from being a class society. You can be born at any stage and you can make it on your own if you are allowed to open your own business and live your dreams. And we just got to stop squishing the individual.
Yeah, you do. And it seems to never end. Now, one thing that I have noticed is there is a trend, especially here, and a lot of this starts here in Colorado, but there is a trend that I know that some of our legislators here in Colorado have started to work on, and they're decommissioning, if you will, the regulators. They're starting to pull the teeth away from those guys and defang them, if you will. And they're trying to, and so I've seen a lot of that legislation starting to pop up all over the place. It'd be nice to see it in D.C., but I don't think our Republicans or Democrats in Washington, D.C. have any interest in stopping that freight train.
No, they don't seem to, but certainly Senator Vicky Marble and Representative Justin Ebert have been working to do some of that. Also, there are some other groups that work to do that. When NFIB, for example, discovered how the auditors were going through and absolutely tormenting businesses, they threatened to run an initiative to stop that. And then it was interesting to see how the bureaucrats then came to the table, admitted that, yes, there were some abuses going on and some of that stuff needed to stop.
Well, yeah, and some of that stuff needs to stop. Sure, that's all well and good, but they're not going to regulate themselves. We have to regulate the regulators.
That's right. It's our job to watch our government, and that's part of what CRVC intends to do.
Well, and that's a good thing. So that's the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, and I'm going to be the keynote speaker on Friday. That event is going to be June 19th from 11:30 to 1 p.m., Brooklands at the Pepsi Center, and I'm going to be talking about Initiative 20. That is an idea that is not a new one. It was floated originally in 2013 by Senator Irene Aguilar. And it's a single payer health care program that they're going to try to cram down the citizens of the United States, Colorado. Fortunately, we get to vote on this one. So we get to decide if we want to triple the size of Colorado's government in one fell swoop, whether or not we want to agree to a 10% tax increase straight across the board, and whether or not we want a $25 to $50 billion a year tax increase imposed on us. Susan?
Right. Well, you know, the small business people have a dream and they're working to make their business the best it can be. But we have been put in a position where we are now the tax collectors. We're the social security collectors, the income tax collectors. We are now put in the position of being immigration enforcement in terms of making sure people are legal immigrants and now collecting money for people's health care. And this is a giant tax both for the employee, the employer, and if you're self-employed, it's an even larger bite.
Yeah, it is. So, all right. So, Susan, I look forward to seeing you on Friday. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds good. And I also want to mention that CRC is doing a terrific golf fundraiser at the Omni Interlochen Golf Course on September 14th. And you can go to smallbizopen.com and get the details so we can meet with legislators there and talk about our issues.
You know, it's funny. We, Jason and I, way back when, went to that golf tournament and we won.
Nice.
Yeah, we did. That was a long time ago, but we did.
Oh, we have some amazing prizes. You can possibly win a Lexus. I think there's $1 million prize potential. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? I might just have to attend that one. I'm not much of a golfer, but who knows? Maybe I can get Jason to be on my team again because he is a very good golfer. Susan Kochevar, thank you for joining me on Freedom 560.
Thank you, Ken.
Keep up the good work. When we come back, I'm going to dive into some more of this economic news. I didn't really get to hit it quite as hard as I wanted, but I'm going to have more of that on the other side. Don't go away. You know, it seems like once a month we get the jobs numbers that come out from the government, and every month it's about 250,000 new jobs that are created or whatever. We have about 250,000 people who are no longer on the employment rolls, no longer counted as unemployed. They've given up. whatever the case may be. I mean, but we know that that is a fraud being perpetrated on the American public. We also know that the debt ceiling has been frozen for the past 90 days. I talked about this in the very first segment of this hour. First and second segments. And the government is lying to us every day about pretty much everything. They do not tell us the truth. I mean, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Iran nukes, you name it. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's laughable. But both Republicans and Democrats are complicit in this fraud. So we talked about the idea that the debt ceiling has been frozen, $25 million. The national debt, the accounting of the national debt, has been frozen at $25 million below the debt ceiling. Okay? It's been that way for 90 days. Anybody believe that we haven't spent that $25 million when our budget is several billion dollars a day? Well, nobody buys that. Nobody buys the unemployment numbers, but they won't talk about the truth. They won't give us the real truth because Americans might get really upset with the current state of affairs in Washington, D.C. if they were told the truth. So we can't have that truth be bad. Okay? So I had mentioned in the WashingtonTimes.com that there was an article that came out today. The government debt threatens to send the U.S. economy into a death spiral, the Congressional Budget Office warns. Now, the Feds, the Federal Reserve, will not increase the interest rates because they're afraid of an economic meltdown if that happens. And that headline came from the L.A. Times. Fed holds off on interest rate hikes, downgrades economic forecast. Well, the two go hand in hand. The two go hand in hand. The economic forecast for the United States is worse over the last couple of years than it has been for a long time. This comes straight out of the article. Quote, the long-term outlook for the federal budget has worsened dramatically over the past several years, the CBO said in its dire report, blaming large deficits that piled up under President Obama's stimulus and more fundamental changes to the economy have caused Americans to leave the workforce in favor of government support. Isn't that nice? So we've got Americans that are working their fingers to a bone, if you will, aren't making ends meet, throw up their hands and say, you know what? I'm going to make as much money going on public programs as I will working, so why should I work? Why should I work? That is exactly what the Democrats and the progressives want to happen. They want people realizing they can make just as good a living now without having to work if they just sign up for all these government freebies. Why? Why? There is a reason. Because they want to enslave those people to dependency. They want to enslave those people to dependency. Then, after they get used to being dependent, they won't want to leave being dependent. And that is how they continue to build their power base, because these people are going to vote for the guy like Hillary or Obama, guy or gal, whichever, that are out there saying, yeah, I know, it's tough to tell. Anyway, the guy or gal that's out there promising this, that, and the other thing. That's why I use that as my campaign slogan. I promise this, that, and the other thing. But what they're really promising is more freebies. We're going to increase your government check. We're going to rob from those nasty rich people, and we're going to give that money to you. It is redistribution of wealth. It is socialism, but it is designed to the ever-ending increase of their power base. That's what it's all about. Now, that other one, when I was talking about Fed's hold off on interest rate hike, they're talking about the same thing. They're talking, listen to this. If they're correct, annual growth will be the worst since 2011 and would be far from the breakout performance some economists had hoped for this year. Basically, what they're saying is the economic forecast for the United States is horrible. It's horrible. The gross domestic product is on life support. It is on life support. What was it last quarter? 0.1%, something like that. And I think even those numbers are jumbled because they don't want to show that the economy is actually in a recession. It's getting worse. Unemployment numbers are getting worse. There is no economic growth in the United States. Now, there are their portions. Denver, Colorado is one of the few places where we're experiencing economic prosperity. Cheyenne, Wyoming, they're experiencing economic prosperity. North Dakota, where they're drilling like crazy. The Dakotas? Are you kidding? That's because of fracking. And you notice the fractards have kind of left Colorado. They have they're not here. They're kind of going away. Well, it's because counties and cities in the state of Colorado are realizing, wow, it's costing a lot of money to ban fracking in our community. Maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe they've realized that fracking is in fact safe and the fear-mongering tactics of the left aren't in fact working, but municipalities are realizing we need industry in our municipality. Otherwise, we're going to go broke, we're going to go bankrupt, and we're going to lose a lot of money. But I mean, this whole thing, when you talk about the Federal Reserve and the CBO, both warning that the economic outlook of the United States is pathetic. And then when you take a look at the fact that they won't tell you what the real national debt stands, where it stands, you can assume that the economic policies of this president are an abject failure. They were started by Bush 43. That's why we do not need a Bush 45. We do not need a Bush 45. That would be catastrophic. And it doesn't matter to me whether you give me Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush. It flat out doesn't matter. The only benefit of Hillary over Jeb is she'll tank the United States a lot faster than Jeb would. He'll just put us on a slow bleed, whereas Hillary will take what Obama has done and I think inject even more steroids into it and absolutely kill the United States. She is a Marxist. Study Marxist principles and you'll know exactly where she comes from. But the only reason I think that would be better is then maybe once it does collapse, we can start to fix things because people realize that Washington, D.C. is not the end all to beat all and big government will take down the society. We've got 6,000 years of proof as to why that is right. Free market principles will save this country if they're allowed to be implemented. Capitalism will save it if they're allowed to be implemented. But the government, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, they don't want that. It is all about cronyism today. And when we come back, we're going to have a special guest, a speaker at the Western Conservative Summit. I'm looking forward to this. You will too. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.